thank you all for joining us this afternoon for a special Cornell Lunch Connect event. On behalf of Cornell Chicago Programs Committee, it's my great pleasure to introduce today's event and the speaker. So let me start by introducing myself. I'm Young In from the Programs Committee, and I'll be the moderator today. Today's program is titled Self-Love, Selfless Leadership, and Magnetic Cultures, All the Things We Want in Life. A moderator discussion with improv and leadership expert Erin Deal. So you probably already noticed that today's event is a little different from our usual format. First of all, you have a gift at your chairs, a book from Cornette. It's a gift from Cornette to you. So you have a book to take with you at the end of the day today, and there'll be the book signing after the event. So she'll be sitting over there, so you can come and get the author's autograph. So you get a chance to meet with the author. So secondly, this program will be an interactive format, which is a little different from our usual format. Of course, we'll have the Q&A at the end, like we usually do. But during the event, there will also be an interactive opportunity for you to participate. So if you're willing to speak, please raise your hand so we can bring the mic to you. And more importantly, you're in for a special treat today. Today's speaker is Erin Deal, and she's a big deal. So she's a keynote speaker, a podcast host, an author, a leadership expert with a unique improv background, and she'll take you through a fun journey today. So personally, I had a privilege to participate in one of her improv workshops, and Hugh, I can tell you, is buckle your belt, it'll be fun, and you're in for a ride. I'm not sure if she'll take us through her signature chicken dance today. You might have to do that, so be ready. But we'll leave that up to Erin. With that, let me introduce Erin's bio. So Erin Big Deal is a business improv educator, failfluencer, and a keynote speaker. Through a series of unrelated dares, Erin created Improve It, a unique professional development company that uses improvisational comedy and experiential learning to sharpen leaders and teams so they can thrive in ever-changing environments and do it with a whole lot of laughs along the way. Erin Deal is a graduate from Clemson University, a former experiential marketing and recruiting professional, a veteran improviser from a top improvisational training programs in Chicago, including the Second City, I.O. Theater, and the Annoyance Theater. Having spoken on global stages with companies, including Amazon, LinkedIn, McKesson, and the Obama Foundation, Erin has an energy and message to share with the world that creates lasting ripple effects for change. As a graduate of the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Program and member of the Chicago Innovation Awards Women's Cohort, Erin is a living testament to the power of lifelong learning and how working to understand ourselves helps others too. Erin is a proud host of the Top 1% podcast, the Improve It podcast, which you can find anywhere you listen to pods. She's also a first-time author to the Amazon bestseller and top new release book, I See You, A Leader's Guide to Energizing Your Team Through Radical Empathy. Among her many accolades, Erin is most proud of successfully coercing over 35,000 professionals to chicken dance. When she's not playing pretend or facilitating, she enjoys walking on the beach with her husband's son in an 8-pound toy poodle, Big Deal. So with that, it's my great pleasure to introduce the real Big Deal, today's speaker, Erin Deal. Please join me in welcoming Erin to the stage.
Okay, so I'm not going to ask you to chicken dance, okay? But I am excited to be here. I'm so excited, in fact, Cornette left you a gift, but I left you a gift within the gift. So if you flip to the back of your book, you're going to see something back there that looks like this, the ideal day. But I want you to flip it over because it's actually a lottery ticket, Cornette, okay? Yes! And I want you to hold up your ticket as I read out today's winning lottery ticket number. Your winning lottery ticket number for today is 867-5309. Oh, no. Yes! Okay, congratulations. you rate the energy of this room?
Three.
Seems to be at zero. Okay. Here's the deal, Cornette. We're going to do this again. This is round two. And here's what I need you to do. We are going to get this room at an 11. Okay? Here's how we're going to do that. When I count to three, you're going to give me all the energy that you have in your body, okay? Like, if you're an ex-cheerleader, I want to see, like, a high kick or a herky. And if you're not an ex-cheerleader, more power to you, okay? Now, you're going to give that to me, and you're going to look to your right, to your left. And if the person standing next to you, I'm looking at you, if the person standing next to you is not giving as much energy as you, you are going to be their personal high person, okay? You're going to get in there, you're like, yeah! Okay, we're gonna rattle these walls for that. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right. Here we go. Different lunches. We're moving. We're moving. Here we go. Now to three. One, two, three. Woo! One to ten, where are we now?
11.
Give yourselves a round of applause. You're at an 11. Yes, okay. Tell me what changed from round one to round two. Focused. I heard energy. What else? Hype. Encouragement.
Peer pressure.
Peer pressure. What else? Challenge. Yes. We all brought our full energy to this room. And then we held each other accountable for bringing that energy to its entire collective. Accountability. And then what also happened, in less than 3 minutes before starting this conversation, we had this entire room give positive energy to one another. So I want you to take what you just did, give yourselves another round of applause, that space as we talk today, because you're going to find out that energy, the energy that you give is the energy that you receive. So keep that energy alive. The rest of today, I'm going to turn it over to y'all. Give y'all a round of applause, by the way. Our moderator. You can have a seat. Go rock. Thank you for that. Thank you. Now, let's all resume our regular luncheon.
I'll bring you guys down. I'll give her a series of questions. This is a moderated discussion, so let's go through a series of questions and I'll go from there. And there'll be interactive things happening in between.
So, first question, why did you write ICU and what do you hope readers to take away from it?
Yes.
And I know there's something called Energy U, so you gotta tell us about it too.
Yes. So, thank you, Cornette, because all of you will have a copy of this book to go home with. So I wrote this book coming out a period of my own life, which was a healing journey, okay? The year was 2020, let me take you there. And I know we can all think back to where we were maybe March of 2020. And this was a period of my life I like to call the three P's, or the three PUs, as I like to call it, because it was the stinkiest period of my life, and not because I had a one-year-old who was still in diapers, okay? It was hard. It was a hard, challenging time for so many people. And so the first P that I went through was called pivoting, okay? And I'm sure everyone in this room knows what I'm talking about when I say pivoting in 2020, because at that time, I'm the founder of a professional development company. We had to take our entire business, which was completely in person, completely virtual, overnight, which led to my second P, which was people pleasing. Any recovering people pleasers in this room? Okay, right here, you're not alone. I was a new mom to this miracle baby boy. I was giving to him. I was giving to my mom who had just had a stroke. I was giving to my family. I was giving to my team. I was giving to my peers, my clients. I was giving and giving and giving to everyone except myself, which led to the third P,
which was pain. And I'm not talking about like, ouch, I stumped my toe type pain. I'm talking about chronic pain that was in my back and in my shoulders that made me cry myself to sleep at night, pain that was undiagnosable by doctors, pain that was withstanding any chiropractic crack. And it was through this pain that I realized I had a lot of healing to do and a lot of emotional healing to do. And so I set out on this healing journey and spent many months reflecting on what I had gone through, what the world had gone through. And it was in that healing that I received guidance to write this book and write it now. It is for the burnt out leader who gives to everyone else except themselves. It's for the caregiver who gives to everyone else except themselves. It's for the human being who wants to see more. I'm gonna say this word, it's gonna feel icky, love in the workplace and wants to bring empathy and kindness to everyone around them. And so Energy U is what I call the curriculum that this book guides you through. So, okay, when is your birthday, y'all?
January 28th.
Happy late birthday, okay?
Thank you.
People ask me, what is Energy U? What is this curriculum? Okay, Energy U was founded on the day you were born. So on the count of three, shout out your birthday. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I love that day so much. That was the day Energy U was founded, and that was the day that you enrolled yourself into this magnet school, and you have been studying energy your entire life. But this book, and today, here today, I'm gonna give you a masterclass on how it all works. So you felt that energy with winning the lottery? It is so important in how we lead our teams, how we lead our clients, how we lead our families, to make sure that we have energy here first to give to others.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay, next question. Why self-love and self-care is important as a leader? I know that's our title today.
Yes. So, okay, show of hands, who did something for themselves today? Okay, a few people. Okay, perfect. Who did something for themselves this week to give themselves some self-love? Awesome. Okay, here's the deal. When we get going and going and going as a leader, the thing that we let go of the most is the need to recharge our batteries. I got in my car yesterday. This is a funny little nod from the universe because this book just launched a week and a half ago. And my car battery light came on and it said, low battery. Please recharge. I was like, okay, I get it. All right, she's low. And it was this sign that I needed to remind myself, okay, you need to do something that is going to fill your tea kettle so you can fill other people's cups. Because you really can't give to the people in your life, whether it's your team, your family, whoever, unless you have a well to give from.
So true. Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah.
Okay, so next question. Why is having a positive mindset so important when it comes to self-love? And do you have an activity we can help us reclaim our negative thoughts?
Yes. Okay. Again, limiting beliefs. I got a little study for y'all. Here's a factoid, okay? According to the National Science Foundation, there was a study in 2005 that the average human thinks between 50 to 80,000 thoughts a day. Of those 50 to 80,000, we have what we call thought worms. We think 6,000 thought worms a day. I want to ask you, of those 6,000 thought worms, what percentage of those thoughts do you think are negative?
75%.
75. Anybody else? It's 30. It's 80%.
Wow.
80% of the thoughts that we think every day are negative limiting beliefs. And here's the other kicker. those 80% of those thoughts that we're thinking that are negative, we are repeating the same thoughts 95% of the time.
Yeah, I'm thinking about myself. I would have thought it's 50-50.
Yeah.
That's surprising, like 80%.
Right?
I do it all the time.
So here's the thing. There's an activity I want to teach everybody here today that you can find. It's pulled from the improv stage, but the good news is you don't need a scene partner or a stage to make it work, because the scene partner is your mind, 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 mind. That was your mind being blown. Okay, so here's what's gonna happen. Okay, I'm gonna demonstrate this activity with Yong, and then I'm gonna grab a mic from Lindsay in the back in just a minute and come to a couple of you to showcase how this works. And then we're all gonna do this, because there is a very easy way that we can stop our limiting beliefs in their tracks. Is there a thought, Yong, that you think consistently over and over? What's your 95% thought, that negative thought that you're consistently saying to yourself?
Being a perfectionist myself, I'm always thinking I'm never enough.
I'm never enough. A lot of people can relate to that. So here's the very first thing you do. You're gonna clap and interrupt your thought and say new choice. So let's all try that together. New choice. Okay, we'll try one more time. New choice, that's step one. Step two, you're gonna forgive yourself. You're gonna forgive yourself for that negative thought, because we're human beings, we're not robots. This is normal. Everyone thinks these, according to this study by the National Science Foundation in 2005, okay? We all have these negative thoughts. So then you're going to reframe that negative thought with a kinder, more loving thought instead. So how can you reframe that?
It's like having a therapy on stage.
It is. It is.
Okay, I'm gonna do it.
Yes,
in front of all of you. Okay. What am I supposed to
say? So, okay, tell me your limiting belief.
Okay, I'm never enough.
Okay. New choice.
New choice.
Forgive yourself.
I forgive myself, God.
And then forgive your, and then reframe it.
Okay, I'm more than enough.
Yes! Okay, and if you wanted to go deeper with that, you could say, I am more than enough. I am sitting on this stage. I am standing on that podium because I do great work for my community and the world.
All of that, yes.
Yes. Okay, all right, so here's the deal. Thank you, Lindsay. I'm gonna come to a couple of you. Now, please do not be scared. This is an Oprah moment. This is fun for me. I got your back, okay? I'm gonna come to you. I'm gonna ask you to tell me your limiting belief. And if you don't wanna say it, that's okay. Just tap me on the wrist and I'll make up one for you, okay? And then we're gonna do it all together. We're gonna clap, say new choice, forgive, and reframe. Ready? Support your team here. Support your team. I'm coming to this beautiful woman right here, Renee. Give it up for Renee! Okay. What is your limiting belief?
I would say that I don't have enough.
Oh, that it's so like a scarcity mindset.
Yeah, scarcity.
Okay, all right, everybody, we're gonna clap and say new choice. New choice. Forgive yourself.
I forgive you, Renee.
And then, oh, I love that. And then how are you gonna reframe it?
I have more than enough, and abundance comes to me.
Yes, give her a round of applause. That's a mantra. Say that every day. That's amazing. Okay, I'm gonna come over here. This table of dudes. They're like, don't. And okay, we got one female over here. Okay, hold on. I'm coming to Mario. Mario, give it up for Mario. Okay, Mario, what is your limiting belief?
I second guess myself too much.
So. Okay, that's great. Everybody does that. All right, everybody, clap your hands. New choice. New choice. Forgive yourself.
I forgive myself.
Reframe it.
I'm gonna be more confident.
Yes, okay, okay. Yes. Tell me how you're gonna be more confident. What are you gonna do?
Believe in myself.
Okay, yes. You really believe in yourself?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. He's like, go away. Thank you, Mario. Okay, so here's what's gonna happen. We're gonna turn to somebody at our table and find a partner, all right? Whoever has the longest hair, you're gonna go first. If your hair is in a bun, make a game time decision, okay? Long hair. You're gonna tell short hair your limiting belief. You'll both clap, say new choice. You'll forgive yourself, and then you will reframe it with a kinder, more loving, positive thought instead. And then we're gonna do the same thing. Short hair, you'll give your limiting belief, clap, say new choice, forgive, reframe. All right? Let's do it. Begin. Shout out to me. What was it like to have your new choice be heard out loud? What was it like to share your reframe with somebody else? What did that feel like?
Validating.
Freeing.
Empowering.
Yes. How did, sorry?
I just said confirming.
Confirming, yes. Sorry, I was like looking all around, like, where'd that voice come from? So let me ask you this. When you forgave yourself in that moment, it feels weird to say it out loud, but were you able to really receive that? What did that feel like? The forgiveness of yourself.
Awkward.
What else? Feels awkward. Why does it feel awkward? Because we're so used to these thoughts and we say them over and over, it may feel awkward to forgive ourselves in that moment. But what you're really doing is telling yourself it's okay. I'm human. This is what everyone does. And it's okay for me to say these limiting beliefs because we're all gonna say them. But what happens is the miracle moment is when you, in that moment, can catch yourself with new choice and get yourself out of it. And so you may find yourself in a meeting and you might be thinking to yourself, I don't belong at this table. Or you might be with a client and thinking, oh, this sale's not gonna happen. Or you might be looking at a contract and just thinking to yourself, is this ever gonna close? In that moment, even if you're alone or if you're even with a group of people, all you have to do is just put your hands together because that's a pattern interruption and tell yourself new choice. Say, it's okay, and then reframe it. The more you do that, the more times you will start to find yourself in a position of self-love. You will pull yourself out of anxiety. You'll pull yourself out of moments where you could be on the other side of greatness, but you have to believe it first. So take that with you. Please use it in your day-to-day. It's such an easy tool. I'm gonna sit down now, but I'm just awkwardly sitting down. But this is such a tool that I have used, and I used it in this healing journey I was telling you about. I use it every day. I used it right before I came up here. It will change your mindset. And when you have a more peaceful state of mind, it's such a better way to live. Such a better way to exist. You're giving yourself freedom in that moment.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Love
okay.
It, love it. We got more.
Okay.
More.
More coming. Okay. Okay. Next question. Why is knowing what you want out of your day is so important?
Yes. Okay. How many of you have a routine that you do every morning? A lot of people. Good. A lot of successful people in this room. I'm liking that. This is the routine of successful humans. How many of you know what you want out of your day? How many of you know what your ideal day will look like? Okay, let me take you through my version because my last name is Deal and I just really love to use it, all right? This is called your ideal day. So this is on the back of your lottery ticket and it's an acronym, but being intentional about how we spend our time, how we intentionally use our life and our days can add up to so much more. Like small, tiny little actions make big results. So this is my version of the ideal day. And I love it because when we start to become very focused and intentional and actually see what we want out of our days, we can actually start to make them happen. So there's pens here. If you want to write while I'm going through this, what your answers to this would be. Everybody should have a pen right by your knives. Okay, place them. Just make sure don't use the salad knife. Use the pen. Okay, so the first thing is with the I. What is your I am statement? So this could be that statement that you just used coming out of New Choice. So instead of I am not enough, it is I am enough. Instead of I am not confident, it is I am filled with confidence and ease. So whatever your I am statement is, this is, I remember our good friend Renee over there, she said she's living in this place of scarcity. This is the opposite. This is your abundance statement. So your I am statement should be the first thing that you say to yourself in the morning. And then the D is, what are you going to do first? If you could have the most perfect day in the world, what would that day start with? Is it checking email? Is it working out, meditating, going for a walk, reading, whatever that might be? And then the next I after that is your intake. What are you taking in content-wise? Is it the news? Is it positive content? Is it a podcast or maybe an Audible book that fills your cup? What are you giving to yourself and your mind first to really start your day the ideal way? Give me a second to write that. And then the E is your environment. Are you working from home? Are you working in an office? I love to get really specific with this. What are you wearing? Is it yoga pants and bedroom slippers? Or are we getting out the blazer? On Zoom? Are you on Zoom? Are you in person? Where are you? And then the H, and this might be the most important part, is how do you feel? If you could feel one way all day long, what would this feeling be? We're gonna go through a variety of emotions, but if you had your ideal emotion, what would that be? And then the L is the last thing you do before you close your eyes. Is it give your doggy a little smooch? Is it say a meditation or a mantra? Is it read? What is that thing that you're doing last? And after you fill this out, I want you to put this on your mirror or somewhere that you'll see it every day and remind yourself that this is what you hope your day looks like. Because we have the opportunity to co-create it. We have the opportunity to put it into motion, but we have to know what it looks like first in order to be intentional about that. And this right here is self-love at its finest, because if you don't know what you want and need, you're not gonna get it. So it's being super intentional on how you get it.
Awesome. And you won one of those.
Yes, yes. And then also you won the lottery. So like when you flip it over, you're like, I'm a genius and great. I'm having a great day.
Perfect. Is everybody done with your lottery ticket? Okay, let's move on for the interest of time. Okay, so I have a question about this. What is an LSD day? And I hope it's not a drug.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does anybody know what an LSD day is? Anybody in HR? Anybody in human resources? Okay, so it is not a drug. This is something that we talk about in the book a lot. By we, I mean me, but my team and I talk about it a lot. It stands for Light Saver Day. How many of you have come home after a full day, you've maybe done one or two things on the ideal day list, and you have been working, then you go into parenting, or you go into the next thing, and then you go to a networking event, and then you have to finish your work, and then you finally, when you go to bed at night, send the last email, that's the last thing that you do, and you just face plant into your bed, and that's your day-to-day for like a couple weeks. Show of hands if anybody's done that. Yes, okay. So I call it burning the candle. My husband, when I obviously am an entrepreneur, but when I first started the business, I was burning the candle left and right. Like I would literally face plant like nose to mattress, sometimes fully clothed, and wouldn't move for like 12 hours because I just burnt that candle to a crisp. And so I talk in the book, I'm gonna say this, about big wick energy, okay? Big wick energy. That is, you save your wick before it burns down. So if you're thinking about a candle, you are keeping the flame alive by giving to yourself and doing it preventively versus when you're completely depleted. So a lightsaber day is a day that you put in your calendar, your kids are at school, you aren't, you know, you're not doing anything other than giving to yourself. It could be going to a thrift store and thrift store shopping. It could be roaming the shelves of Home Goods. It could be playing golf. It could be whatever it is that recharges you so that you have more to give to others. We started doing this internally at my team at Improve It. And we started a Slack channel. I don't know if anybody in here uses Slack, but we put in an LSD Slack channel. And it was really fun. We just love to say LSD. Like, I'm doing LSD today, you know. And it's so we put in pictures of what we do and share it as a team. So we're encouraging it to happen. We're encouraging our team to take care of themselves. We're reminding each other, hey, put in that LSD day on your calendar once a month. So you have a day that you are recharging, you're giving to yourself, and you're preventing burnout before you actually get there.
I love the fact that you're giving yourself a permission to do that.
Yeah.
And let everybody else know.
Yeah. Yep. And sharing is the coolest part,
right.
I think.
So what do people do?
I love to thrift shop. Jenna, what's your normal LSD day?
Coffee shop, romance.
Yeah. And it's like, you don't check email. You don't check, you check in what you got to check in on, but really it's just an opportunity to fill your cup with whatever you love to. I love Home Goods and thrift store shopping. Like those are my two things. Love it.
Awesome. Okay. So we got something to do. Okay. Next one. How do you define empathy? And do you have any tools that can help leaders with radical empathy?
Yes. So to me, empathy is not just putting yourself in somebody's shoes. It's putting on a pair of their Nike Dunks, walking around in it for a minute, and understanding the human being, not the human doing the work. Okay. And I got another activity. Are you ready for the one more activity, Cornette? Yes? Can you give me one more? Can you do one more? Okay. Okay, so this one, we'll say whoever has the shortest sleeve will go first. Okay, so you're gonna, in just a moment, find a partner. Just a moment. Check the sleeves. Now, here's what's gonna happen. Shortest sleeve, you're gonna talk about a challenge that you have in your life. It could be professional, it could be personal, whatever's on your mind at the moment. And you are going to say that challenge to your partner. Okay, for the purpose of this, I know I'm short sleeve. I'm gonna be the person that goes second. So you tell me your challenge. Okay. What is your challenge?
Today?
Yeah, what's just on your mind? What's been bothering you?
So this is a challenge that has been on my mind for the last 25 years. Mm. So it's a big challenge. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. So I have a work-life balance challenge. Mm. I think they call it work-life integration now, right? Mm-hmm. That's the right way to say it. Mm-hmm. So between the professional life and the family life, I always have to make that choice between those two, and it's the hardest choice I have to make, and that's my challenge. I haven't found the answer yet.
Okay. Give her a round of applause for being vulnerable. So here's what happens. Partner two, you have the hardest job. So I now have to repeat back to her in the first person everything that she said, as if I am her, okay? So I've had this challenge. I've had it for the past 25 years. It's work-life balance. I guess they call it work-life balance integration now, or work-life integration. But I have this, it's been a challenge for me, and I'm really trying to figure out how do I do it on a daily basis, and I haven't figured it out yet. Okay, that's all you've got to do, and then we're going to talk about it. And then once both partners, so once partner one goes and partner two repeats, then partner two will share their challenge, and partner one will repeat back in first person. Any questions? Okay, here we go. Begin. All right. If you can, focus back up here for me. I'm loving these conversations. I'm watching it from a distance, and everybody is really leaning in. The body language is like, I'm here to help you. Let me ask you this. What was it like to say your challenge out loud to your partner? What did that feel like?
Freeing.
What else? Scary. I know. Young and I were just talking up here. I was like, I don't know if Cornette knew like how vulnerable we were about to be today. Okay. All right. What else? Scary. Awkward. But then what was it like after you said your challenge to hear it back in the first person, to hear that partner tell you it back to you in first person? What did that feel like? Encouraging. What's that? Yeah, that they understood. Anybody else? What about when you were the person repeating back your partner's challenge in the first person? What was that like?
It was hard.
Yeah.
It's like they had emotion and personal experience with it, and I only had the words.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Chris, for this. Let me ask you this. If you were to just say it back, like you were just repeating it back in their words, and you were saying they, she, he, whatever, not I, do you think that might have felt different? Yeah. And so when you put yourself in the first person, you could kind of see what your partner was going through. You can't step in, you can't fully be them. And sometimes, listen, as a people pleaser, I take on so many people's energy. Like, we don't want to take it on, right? But what radical empathy really means is listening to the human being, understanding and putting yourself in that position of where they're coming from. Because let's say a direct report comes to you and they're like, I'm running late again, right? How many of us have had people who've been tardy, right, that we lead? And so you're like, okay, well, get here on time. But in that moment, if you were to say, you know what, Susan just had a new baby, and I'm sure it's really hard to get out of the house with all the things. I'm going to cut her a little bit of slack right now, and we're going to talk about it. But you could ask, hey, what's making you tardy? And when she gives you that answer, repeat it back in first person. As you can do this alone, you could even do it back to them if you want to say, hey, I'm just trying to feel this thing out. And what it really does is it filters through your own mind more of what the human is going through versus the transactional things that happen in our day-to-day professional lives. This is a great activity to use with your partner or spouse, okay? It can also spill over into your personal life. So I'm not, you know, listen, I don't do it every day. I've got to practice what I preach. But when you actually start to think about the human being, not just the human doing, you start to see the full picture. Anybody else have anything that they found out of this activity? Anything that like spurred, and what I love to see, like from a distance, Some activities, the energy and the volume is really high, and this one, y'all were all like whispering like really close. And you're like, I know. Oh, I feel that way too. And you were like empathetic. And then it's after you repeated it back in first person, it was almost like you could have this deeper, more meaningful conversation. Did y'all feel that? And it felt so rich, and it felt less transactional, more authentic. And so this activity is just such a wonderful activity that you can use in every area of your life, but I just wanna encourage you to take it, use it, spread it, because it really has the power to move rooms and people. And here's what I wanna say. When an employee, a team member feels like they're being seen, heard, and valued, they wanna show up more. What happens when you wanna show up more? Productivity rises. When productivity rises, the organization and then the team thrives. So this is something that we call an improv, yes and. It's just a different way of looking at it. And I promise you, if you apply this in your next meeting, today, tomorrow, next week, you will feel such a shift in the way that you lead or even the way that you want to be led. Try this with your boss, see how it goes. Truly, it's a two-way street and it can change the energy of a room. I'm gonna awkwardly sit down again. But does that help?
I feel like I can use this with my kids, actually.
Yes.
That'll be super helpful.
Yes, it's a really good activity to use with any age, honestly. And I have a 4.5-year-old, and listen, he's going through all kinds of things right now. And he is like 4 going on 14. But when I stop and think about what is he actually going through in his day-to-day, it changes my perspective.
We've all been there.
Mm-hmm. Help.
Awesome. Okay, should we move on to the last one?
Yeah.
Okay. So any final thoughts as we close out today? I think we have time for Q&A a little bit, but we just want to wrap it up before that.
Yeah. I just want to say this. I remember when we started this session by winning the lottery. Yes. Yes. That felt good. Okay. Yes. Yes. You don't need a winning lottery ticket to win at this game called life. Let me tell you, if you can give to yourself, you will have so much more energy to give to others. And that right there is the jackpot, because self-love, inner peace, and positivity always win. Now, I just have one ask of everybody here today. If this felt super awesome or it felt super icky, but you felt some positivity and you felt like you were able to see energy and the way that you lead people in a different way, I want you to share that today. I want you to pass that energy on to somebody in your office, to the person you're getting coffee from, whoever it might be, because the world needs more laughter, levity, and positivity. So thank you for participating in this. You should give yourselves a round of applause. All right, and if anybody has questions, we can answer some cues.
Yeah, and make sure you evaluate the course with a QR code on your table too while we're taking Q&A. Anybody have any questions? You got all your questions answered today?
So Erin, you think in a business environment, if you had a leadership committee, 6 people, perfect.
Yeah.
Do you suggest that that second exercise where they recite in first person in the group of 6 or pair off in 2s?
So I would pair off in 2s. And then you can come back collectively. And so this is in the book too. So you have that copy of the book, Step by Step 42. So I would pair them off in 2s and then have them come back and say, what did you talk about? Let's filter it through. You're gonna listen and you're gonna hear so many different perspectives. And as a leader, for me, the hardest part, because I like obviously like to talk, is listening. But when you do something like this, you're gonna get so many breakthroughs. And go ahead, sorry.
Right now, I have a leadership committee. First time in I don't know how many years, I didn't do the reviews.
Mm.
Like Chris, you got to, and it's, I don't know how to do this. Like, ask them what's going on in their mind.
Yes.
Doesn't know what the salespeople are going through. It's been great. It's really great.
Good.
Not, nothing as raw as I feel this, you know, the recitation.
So. And so I'm so glad you said that, because it is raw. It's like this feeling of when you, like sometimes I've witnessed, and I have witnessed this in many different scenarios. We work, you know, in corporations. We worked with a group of high school kids with this activity, some coming from different social circumstances. There were tears. Like, people were just crying because they felt seen by somebody for the first time in forever. Isn't that crazy? Like, you don't even stop to think about that. But as leaders, we want things the way we want it. But when we stop and do this, it means so much more. And we hope that the people are with us forever. But if they're not, they can at least take that feeling with them. I love it. Good job.
Hi, on the new choice exercise, if you're working with a team and you, I hear sometimes people who are just, oh, it's the same old, same old.
Yeah.
And how do you get them to make a new choice and rephrase and see the positive? I mean, I've tried myself and sometimes it just, they just keep going back. It's like, it's a habit they're in.
Yes. Okay. How many people are on your team?
This would be more specific to different projects. Sometimes it could be 30 people.
Okay.
Sometimes it's a smaller project.
How many leaders within that team, though?
Probably about 3 or 4.
Okay, I'm going to give you 3 or 4 copies of the book to give to them. Okay. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to have them read it, because the new choice will start with them. If they don't believe it, nobody's going to believe it. And so, literally ingraining this, there's the step-by-steps in there. You can have all 4 of you sit down together, 4 or 5 of you, however it might be, talk through the activity, do it together, and say, this is going to be how we start our meetings. This is going to be, and this could be a cheesy thing, but you could say Chief New Choice Officer, CNCO, okay? We're going to appoint a Chief New Choice Officer. And at the start of the meeting, this person is in charge. If we have any negativity or if we're talking in a negative self way, we're going to correct it with new choice. And it'll be silly and it'll feel forced in the beginning. But then people actually start to implement it and it changes the vibe. But it has to start with the leaders. So come to me after and we'll make sure we get you 4 copies of the book. Thank you.
Hi.
Hi, Renee.
How's it going?
Good.
This has been really awesome. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
I'm a fellow improviser, and I'm curious what your transition looked like from being a performer into this space and realm, and if you still perform.
I am curious, too. I live in Charleston, South Carolina now. I used to live here. And that burning the candle story was me as an improviser. I did business development. I was just talking over here about my early career days. I was doing business development at a recruiting firm, which, talk about doors slammed in your face. Like, they were literally hitting my nose. Like, they physically slammed. And then I would do improv at night on the weekends. And then any chance I could, I would build Improv It on the side. So as Improv It, the whole time I was studying improv, I knew I wanted to do this. So I studied it through the lens of applying it to corporate America and still performed, loved performing. But as my hobby slowly became my career, I also became a new mom. And then the pandemic hit, I stopped performing as much. And, but now I've really gotten back into it and I do it more on Instagram. I got a character called Pamela Looking Glass, okay? And she is the stressed out leader who has 4 kids. And she has like a wig that's like a mom crazy haircut, okay? And she's just a nut. But the character choice is showing people how not to be. And so then using the tips and the tricks through the book to sort of help guide her back to love. And so I've used even... My word of the year is play, and so I'm, like, committed to creating more sketch characters and just my day-to-day. And if you watch in March, there's a new one coming out. Her name is Literature. Okay? Mm-hmm. And she's the president of the book club. And we are going to be doing a book club with Literature. And so it's just, it has been a progression, but I really do miss performing. I just can't do it at this stage of life because by 8 p.m., which is when improv shows are, I am done. I am face planting. And my child is in the bed. It's hard, but improv is always the backbone of this business. And I truly believe that if anyone here wants to think differently, think quickly on their feet, get outside of the box, if everyone took an improv class, the world would be such a better place because the characteristics of a great improviser make up the characteristics of a great human. And there's, so kudos to you, keep going. Where are you performing? Tell everyone where they could see you.
Annoyance Theater. Woo! Monthly at Cafe Mustache in
Lewisburg. Yes! I love Annoyance. I did Annoyance too. It's great.
And if you haven't checked out Erin's podcast yet, her podcast is also called Improve It, and you'll find all about her too. It's a lot of fun.
Check it out. And also, Pamela Looking Glass was interviewed on the show. Okay. Okay. Any more questions? Y'all were like, I had no idea what this luncheon was gonna be like, but I hope that you walk away and you're like, I didn't think I could do any of the things that I did today, but I did them with ease and grace and you crushed it.
So thank you everybody for coming. Another round of applause.